Okay, are you ready, Amanda?
Okay, I guess we are ready.
All right, we're going to go back on the record. It's October 14th, 2021. It is now about 11:10, and we're here on the final agenda item. This is number 2005785, and it is a request for a variance to reduce a standard front yard setback by 100%. In order to allow rebuilding an existing single family residence on a highly constrained lot at 9175 Southeast Fragaria Road. And the applicant also seeks a variance to reduce the required side setback from 5 to 2 feet to allow for an external stairway and landing. For those that came later, my name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with the county, and today will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal complies with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and the specific criteria for approval of zoning variances under section 1756.010 of the municipal code. To that end, I received 22 exhibits on this matter that I reviewed in advance of the hearing. This included a staff report prepared by county staff, various technical reports, including an engineer drainage report and a geotechnical report, site plans, various other application materials, and then in addition, several public comments that I had an opportunity to review, and a memorandum that came in last night, I believe, which I am including as Exhibit 22. So those are the exhibits I received in advance of the hearing. Should anyone have additional exhibits they'd like admitted into the record, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll address admitting additional exhibits at that time. Speaking of testimony, all testimony today will be under oath or affirmation. That's because where my decision to be appealed under our state's Land Use Petition Act, the recording of today's hearing, as well as my decision and the admitted exhibits, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. Finally, the basic order that I believe we're going to follow today is first we'll swear in and hear from county staff, who will give an overview of the proposal along with any recommendations the county has. Then we'll turn it to our applicant team to present any additional information they feel that myself or members of the public should be aware of before I make a decision. Then members of the public will have an opportunity to testify. And so we'll go and check if there are folks interested in testifying at that time. Then if appropriate at the end, I'll turn it back to the applicant team and county staff to respond to any such testimony. And I note that although we're not in a court setting and we're also holding this hearing remotely, it is a forum for civility and respect, and I ask everyone to keep that in mind. I know there are differences of opinion sometimes when development occurs, but we want to ensure that everybody is treated fairly and with respect. So with that, I'm going to get Mr. Poff sworn in. And good morning. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Great. And can you just clearly spell your name for the audio recording?
That's Colin Poff. It's C-O-L-I-N-P-O-F-F.
Great. And your role at the county, Mr. Poff?
I'm a planner.
Okay, great. Go right ahead.
Okay. I think we'll have a presentation to share here from Amanda.
Thinking about it.
Just give it a moment.
There we go.
Okay. And you can start on the first slide, Amanda. Just one right before that. Yeah, so again, my name is Colin Poth. I'm a planner with the Department of Community Development with the county. And I was a lead reviewer on this project. This is for a setback variance. And the project number is 20-05785. The purpose of this presentation will just be to kind of give a brief overview of critical project elements and our review of the project against standards and the variance criteria. But it'd be more comprehensive analysis would be located in the staff report. So I'll just kind of look at this briefly. The proposal is for a setback reduction and the property is located at 9175 Southeast Bregaria Road. This is a type 3 variance request, which requires approval from the hearing examiner. So, and I do think we have all the exhibits at this time. You said you got one yesterday, last night from Jane Kohler, is that correct? It was a narrative that we wanted to add to the record.
The hearing memorandum.
I think that was it.
Who wrote it, but okay. I believe that's what it was titled as in Exhibit 22. Is that
okay?
Yeah, that's correct.
Just wanted to make sure. Thank you. Okay. And then so the applicant on the next slide is listed owner and applicant as Kurt Smith Peters. This application was complete in December 17th of 2020. And a notice of application was February 9th of 2021. So it has been in review for some time. After that notice of application was issued, we did receive multiple comments. So I'll discuss that a little bit later on. And that was, the comment period does last throughout the duration of the project. There was no additional, other than the notice of public hearing, no additional notice because this project is exempt from SEPA as a land use action. So the next slide is the proposal. And I tried to kind of bullet it out here as to what's included in this proposal. It's actually, it is one, you know, a setback variance, but it's two pronged. So we look at this combined and together, and it's based on much of the same circumstances, but it is a two pronged proposal. The first being a review of a zoning variance to reduce the standard 20 foot setback from 20 feet down to zero in order to rebuild an existing structure as a single family home on this heavily constrained lot. In addition to that setback reduction, they'll propose to encroach into the right of way by 4 feet, which is already existing as well, but the request is to maintain that encroachment with this. The second part of this is the north setback, which is required to be 5 feet. So they propose to reduce the north setback from 5 feet down to 2 feet to allow for an external outdoor stairway in that area. That would be the primary access to the home. A retaining wall supports that the landing of that stairway and abuts that northern property line. And again, this request would be subject to a type 3 process. So these are the two setback requests based on this being a constrained lot. A little bit of a project background and going back to when this was first applied for 10 months ago or so, they originally requested two variances, one a setback variance and the other to be a variance to the parking requirement. We do require 3 on-site parking spaces on a lot of record, and those spaces actually cannot include the garage parking. It has to be a driveway, a carport, et cetera. So they had a request for both of those. Based on kind of some of our comments and comments received from the public and some back and forth, we actually did receive an updated design from them, which did provide 3 parking spaces underneath the structure, eliminating the need for that parking variance that was initially requested. So we are left with the review of this as a simply as a zoning setback variance. The next is just, I just want to show this in a table that the front is the east. That's where the 20 foot setback would apply, proposing to reduce that to zero. The side setback is 5 feet. And again, with that stairway, it'd be 2 feet. And that's the parking standard that they are now showing compliance with. The next slide is just to actually give you an idea of the existing footprint. This came from their geotech report, but this in brown shows the existing footprint of the structure. So this will help us with some context here. You can see that the blue is the property line, so it does have actual an encroachment there on the north. There's no structure there directly adjacent to the north, but there is a small encroachment and as well as an encroachment over the front setback. And you can see here also there's a concrete parking area existing. Space for one car, potentially two cars tandemly parked. I'm not entirely sure. There's a parking easement to the south of that. So that parking easement is actually granted to the property to the south, which also has site constraints. And so that they have a parking spot there. And so in any event, they're proposing to reuse part of a lot of this existing footprint, as well as that concrete parking area for parking underneath the structure. So we'll go over that a little bit more in later slides, but just to give more context, the next slide is where this is located, which is, and I'll show this again later as well, excuse me, that is showing a picture of the existing structure. And you can see a concrete parking slab there directly to the south of it, as well as the kind of the retaining wall behind it and the steep slopes that are behind it. But to go to the next slide, it's just the location of this. There is in Southeast Kitsap County, Southern Commissioner District, and it's near Banner Road and north of Alala area. So this is in the Frigaria neighborhood. The next slide is zoomed in and showing the zoning. And as you can see, this is the whole vicinity here is rural residential. The Sfrigaria area is a historic neighborhood in Kitsap County, which abuts the Puget Sound. It's located at the bottom of a steep slope where a lot of these properties are. So it's kind of sandwiched between that slope there and the water. And being rural residential, in today's code, actually, minimum lot size for new lots is 5 acres, including a minimum lot width of 140 feet. So as you can see, this lot being actually about a third of an acre or less, and very narrow and constrained, is nowhere near the required lot size of a rural residential lot, typically, as are much of these lots kind of in the vicinity. The next slide is just the same general area shown as an aerial. As you can see, there are homes developed, single family homes developed, many of them actually along the eastern side of Frigaria, right there on the water, as well as a couple there that are on the west side of Frigaria, like this property is. This is a very narrow 0.27 acre parcel. The site currently contains an existing three-story structure with that adjacent concrete parking slab. A large slope with heavy vegetation ascends to the west of the structure, with grades approximately 45% to, I believe, up to as much as 66%. So it's quite a steep slope. The current structure is abutting directly against that slope with a retaining wall in the west or rear. There's where the structure is actually located is a kind of a cleared, relatively flat area, but quite small in size. The next slide would be showing this as well with critical areas. The kind of orange and pink colors show geologically hazardous areas, erosion and landslide hazards based on the steep slopes. excuse me. So just outside of that is a flat area, approximately allowing for up to like 1,200 square feet footprint for a structure, it was noted. They did submit a geotechnical report prepared by Associated Earth Sciences, dated September 23rd, 2019. Recommendations of this report will be incorporated with a review of any future development activity that does occur. This is also a shoreline parcel. As you can see, it's across the road from Frigaria. So there is a road that provides a break between the shoreline buffer and the structure. And there's no impacts proposed to any shoreline vegetation or anything like that with this particular development. The next slide is a zoomed out version of the site plan. I'll show this in a little more detail, but just generally shows right against the road there, the location of the home, ascending to the west, those steep slopes all the way up to kind of the top of the slopes, where they're proposing to have their septic drain field and reserved drain field. So that's where the location of the home is, the concrete parking slab that exists, as well as the parking easement granted to the property to the south as well there on the property. The next slide. this one shows highlighted in green the footprint that they propose. So you can see here that there's kind of up against the side setback is where those external stairways are. The building itself is set back 5 feet from the property line, but there would be that stairway proposed to reduce down to 2 feet. You can see the location of the front setback, as well as that dashed line. And this is where they would, you can see what the footprint proposes to actually maintain that existing encroachment over that by 4 feet. So this is our site plan. We could come back to this if we need to. The next slide. I'll show this image again, just to give us an idea of what we're looking at. Again, you can see how limited the depth of this lot is. The existing structure there occupies kind of the full amount of flat buildable area there. And they would, their site plan shows continuing to use that existing footprint there as far east or as far front as this currently exists. To the north, there's an encroachment again, and they would reduce or eliminate that encroachment, but continue to use a portion of that north setback with the stairway. So that is the existing photo. The next slide. I just want to show the elevations and renderings of their current proposal. Again, this would be reviewed again at time of their building permit, because this is just a review of a footprint essentially for a for setback variance. But we did want to review their rendering and proposal here. So this is a three-story structure. There, the photo on the left is actually showing the rear abutting that retaining wall against the slope. And if you go to the elevations, this will give you a good idea as well. You can see in the top left is their front elevation, which actually has those three carport. That is not garage parking. It's proposed as carport underneath the structure parking with just enough depth for three vehicles there. And then you have the south elevation on the top right. You have the west elevation or the rear there on the bottom left. And you have the north elevation or the side on the bottom right. And that shows that external stairway, which would act as kind of primary access or ingress egress. So that's the proposal. This, I just quickly listed a few comprehensive plan policies. I'm not going to read them out, but this is what's in the staff report as land use policies that relate to rural residential development in general. And again, this is a single family residence proposal, which is a permitted use in the rural residential zone. The next slide is briefly to address public comments. The reason I list this out is because these are things that were led to kind of further discussion or further analysis of this project. The record does have all of these comments as well, and our staff report does go into a little bit of more detail on these. For purposes of the presentation, I just want to show them kind of thematically of the main things that were discussed, and this can be for later discussion as well. But the first was that the use of the property was questioned just because this has been existing for so long. The concern was that the house was actually never previously a residence, and it's more of a garage or shop. Their narrative does state that this was originally from the early 1900s, actually as a carriage house, and has been resided. They have it's been occupied at times since. So they also argued that the structure was built before current zoning, so there would therefore would be a legal non-conforming structure as it exists. But in any event, a single family home as was proposed is a conforming use with this zone, pursuant to needing a variance to actually occupy the setback area. Parking was the primary concern at the beginning. As I said, they initially had a different design, asking for a variance to have one parking spot as opposed to three. There is kind of a shortage of area parking in this area. There are constraints with just Fregaria Road in general. Parking in the right-of-way was a concern. Things like this. Based on those comments and based on some of the county's requests for more information as it pertains to the variance criteria, they did redesign their project to provide those three parking spaces under the house. So that then, in a sense, makes that moot as there's no need to request a variance anymore since the three parking spaces are provided conforming to code. Lastly, there is concerns about the drain field as it's proposed on the far west on the top of the hill, the effects that it may have on the slope, for example. They did receive septic approval from the health department. And as this is a variance request, there was not significant engineering kind of review of this project, but we would require the time of building permit for the geotech report to be resubmitted. And as I'll go over later, we would like to add a condition of approval as well to have that geotech report updated to reflect the current building design, since it's been changed, as well as the placement of that drain field as well. So the next slide would be just the variance criteria. Again, we could discuss this for a long time, but we go into quite a bit of detail in the staff report. I will go over just what the four variance criteria are and some general points. This is in 17.560.010, saying that a variance may be granted to any numerical standard of this title, excluding density, only when unusual circumstances relating to the property cause undue hardship in the application of this title. The granting of such a variance shall be in the public interest. So this is what we're reviewing in our analysis. And again, there's four criteria. So the next slide shows the first two. The first criteria for a variance is that there are special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including size, shape, topography, locations, or surroundings that were not created by the applicant and do not apply generally to other properties in the same vicinity or zone. And I will say again, this is a two-prong proposal, so we would look at each setback request separately for the front and the north, but I'll also say that they're kind of based on very similar circumstances. So for this presentation, I'm going to kind of combine them. So in this zone, the setbacks are 20 for the front, 5 for the side, and 10 for the rear. This is a historic settlement, or one of Kitsap County's kind of historic settlements. And the general area is very physically constrained by slopes, with a flat usable area of approximately 1,250 feet. Additionally, a portion is already occupied by an easement to the property directly to the south. So a further constraint there for a footprint. So due to the steep slopes to the west of the site area, the variance is necessary to allow for an area with enough depth to develop a residence. The second criteria states that such a variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right or use of the applicant possessed by the owners of other properties in the same vicinity or zone. So the only allowable use in this zone as a primary use is single family residential. And many of the other lots in this vicinity are constrained and also have single family structures dating back to various times. The applicant redesigned their structure to accommodate three parking stalls as required by code. And they're requesting this variance in order to occupy the front setback and portion of right away, as well as a portion of the side setback, so that they could have that permitted use of a single family dwelling intended to allow for a use of the property similar to what others enjoy in the vicinity. The next slide is the other two. So third, the authorization of a variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to the property in the vicinity or zone in which the property is located. So we did receive quite a few public comments for this in potentially relating to this criteria. And a lot of that was related to the parking setback that was requested or excuse me, parking variance that was requested just because it's already a constrained area and the impacts that that might have on the area. So they subsequently removed that request. The encroachment to the setbacks or the encroachment to the right-of-way, again, that would not be increased by this proposal. And the encroachment to the north would actually be remedied. So there are no additional effects that would be seen as materially detrimental to the welfare here. Lastly, the variance is the minimum necessary to grant relief to the applicant. It should be noted that there's not very much depth here, and a parking stall underneath the structure does require a certain amount of depth, about 20 feet, in order to be possible. In addition to that, it's noted that the exterior stairway to the north is for their primary ingress egress. And that's, again, based on just the constraints of the lot causing them to have the design that they have for their home. Moving on to what would be the last slide. Looking at this or now analyzing this, we find that it's consistent with our comprehensive plan, as well as the rural residential standards in Title 17 with this variance. It meets the criteria for zoning variance in 17560010 as analyzed in Section 10A of the staff report. We do have a few conditions with this, so we would recommend approval of the variance with conditions. And also, I'd like to say that we can provide this in an exhibit right after this hearing, but we'd like to add a couple of additional conditions of approval. The first that I mentioned was to resubmit that geotechnical report to address the new design, as well as the effect of the septic on they're located on the slope or the top of the slope. So we will have a condition of approval recommended for that. Lastly, and I hadn't mentioned this yet, but we have a condition of approval based on a recent discussions of the property as they have balconies that are extending further into the airspace of the right-of-way. And that's intended to be removed from the design. So condition of approval would read that we would review the building permit to not allow that further encroachment over the right-of-way other than what's approved, the footprint that's approved through this variance if it's approved. So I could send those two additional conditions, but beyond that, we would like to recommend approval of the variance, and that would be the end of my presentation. Thanks.
Great, thank you, Mr. Pop. I do have a few questions for you. Just to be clear, conceptually, the septic drain field is up slope. So I assume there's some gravity pump, there's something being done to pump effluent, if you will, up to that septic drain field. And that's something that was conceptually reviewed by the health department and approved. Is that right?
Correct. It would be pumped up to the top, and that is reviewed by the health department as well in terms of conceptually how their septic design would work. And if we do have further questions on that too, I believe the applicant's engineer might be here, but like I said, it is a health department review in the end, and also we would review again at the time of building permit as well from an engineering standpoint. So.
Sure. And then I guess the other feature, I know it's a small footprint and lot, but all stormwater would be tight lined directly to Puget Sound. Is that right?
Again, I'd have to look. I don't know if our stormwater reviewer is here, but I would have to look more closely at their at their design. But it was conceptually approved. Through the variance, but that would be another thing that would be would receive more rigorous review when development actually occurs.
Okay, and then in terms of, we saw the renderings, and I believe your staff report notes, but there's a maximum height in this zone of 35 feet. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, and then In some jurisdictions, I don't happen to know this for Kitsap County off the top of my head, some SMPs or shoreline master programs have other restrictions, including height restrictions. At first, the county determined that no specific shoreline permits would be required for this proposal. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, we do have a shoreline master program, and it is within the shoreline jurisdiction. There's a break between the shoreline and the home, if you will, with Fregaria Road. And it's also a development with an existing footprint and an existing concrete pad. So there's no actual impacts as well to native vegetation within the shoreline. And so there's no additional storm or shoreline permitting that would be. So it's still subject to the requirements that are in the SMP, but there's no additional permitting that's required.
That was my question. So even though no shoreline permit is required, this proposal would still be subject to any additional requirements there in the shoreline
master program. Correct. Title 22 shoreline master program would still apply, yes.
Okay, and that'll be further reviewed, correct?
Correct, and it was reviewed as part of this as well, as part of the environmental review. Okay. But yes.
Great, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that because it's sometimes gets confusing when you're talking about it's applicable, but you don't need a permit. So I just wanted Okay. I think those were the specific questions I had for county staff. So I thank you. At this point, then, why don't we go to our applicant representative? And is that going to be Jane Kohler? I know there were several folks involved, but maybe we can. And for, we'll go to Kurt has.
Yeah. Am I unmuted now?
Okay, I have several people unmuted. Why don't we have Kurt? Kurt, are you representing the applicant at this point?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
Yes, I do.
Good. And you are, can you state your full name and spell it for the record?
Okay, Kurt Allen Smith Peters, K-U-R-T-A-L-L-E-N. S-M-I-T-H-P-E-T-E-R-S.
Oh, okay. You're the actual applicant. Okay.
And yes.
The property owner. Okay. Yep. Thank you for being here.
And, okay. Right, so and the- my wife is here with me on the speaker, Juanita Trum. So I'll make a few comments just to give an overview of it. I'll also note that Bradford Drew, the geotech, is on the Zoom call, and Jane Kohler, the land use lawyer, is on the Zoom call.
Your Honor, could I make a comment?
Go ahead. Thanks.
I think it would be, make more sense for me to give an overview, just a brief overview, because Colin Poff's site, his analysis is very thorough in his staff report, and then have Mr. Smith Peters follow up and his wife with any specific details, because he is the person most familiar. And then the Bradford Drew, the geotech and engineer who's from Associated Earth Sciences. They're the group that did the geotechnical assessment and who has have reviewed the drainage system as well to see if it complies with good geotechnical practices. He's also available. I just think that might make a more logical order of presentation.
I understand as an attorney, you want to direct traffic and I have no issue. So Mr. Smith Peters, I'm going to let your attorney speak first and then she'll probably go to you right after that. Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And I'm sorry for the interruption. I should have made this clear earlier. Okay. So you, if they need a variance because they live on a little tiny lot that was created long before Kitsap County had any zoning ordinance and regulated the development of lots or homes or required any permits. According to Scott Eckert, whose father apparently owned this property in the 70s, the carriage house that that my clients are seeking to remodel was actually built in the 1940s, and it was the carriage house. And then Mr. Eckert recalls going to stay there in the 70s after his parents divorced during the summertime. And, you know, he says there was indeed a structure there. So the structure absolutely predates Kitsap County's zoning ordinance. You ask about drainage water and whether it was going to go straight into Puget Sound. And there is a report before you, Mr. Examiner. It's called No Net Loss Report, prepared by Ecological Land Services. And on page two, it talks about the fact that stormwater will discharge drainage into a trough and dispersion trench rather than directly into the sound.
Ms. Kohler, do you have an exhibit number? I don't recall reading a no net loss report.
Okay, let me see.
I read the drainage report, which led me to believe water would be tightlined directly to Puget Sound. I just wanted to clarify that point, but I don't recall that I received a... Mr. Poff, do you happen to know if that was included for me in the record?
I don't believe it is, and I'm looking to see in my own documents if that's something that I can locate for you.
Mr. Examiner, we could email it over and it could be included as one of the exhibits. I think it would be helpful in light of some of the questions you were posing.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it'd be useful to have that report. And so let's see, I think we started with 21 exhibits. There was discussion of additional recommended conditions. That would be exhibit 22, right, Mr. Poff?
I think you said exhibit 22, Your Honor, was my hearing memorandum.
Oh, you're right. I apologize. It would be 23. So exhibit 23 would be the additional conditions that staff is proposing, and the no net loss report will make exhibit 24. Okay, so sorry to interrupt, but I just realized as you were talking, that was not something I was familiar with, but essentially your group had a biologist or someone with expertise on these matters review the proposal, and they determined that there would be no detrimental impacts on the water, the environment, et cetera. Is that the basic concept?
That's exactly correct. And the reason the report makes that conclusion, since we're discussing this, is because this is entirely a built environment. I mean, these homes, because of the extraordinarily small lots and the extreme site constraints, that this is a very built, intensely built environment with a bunch of impervious surfaces, and the homes almost, occupy the, entire usable area of lots. So there's little, the report points out, there is little vegetation on the Smith Peters property, except, obviously there's very intense vegetation in the slope area, but in the area where the home is to be developed, the only plant species that they could find was English ivy, and they suggested that it be removed. But so this is not an area where we have a lot of native vegetation. Similarly, they found that the shoreline in the vicinity of the Smith Peters home was rather intensely developed because there are all of these homes on stilts. And as a result, they said there's little debris on the shoreline, little plant life, no kelp, no eelgrass. And it's a very just rocky development. Rocky area with a lot of developed surfaces on the shoreline. So I think that's an important backdrop to have when you're evaluating this proposal.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that.
Okay. And then they're asking for these variances because they have these little tiny lots that were created long before Kitsap County had area requirements and long before the Growth Management Act, rural residential zoning was imposed on these parcels. There are 19 non-conforming lots in the area of the Smith Peters property. 18 of them are developed with, homes that probably could not be built under today's standards. But Kitsap County is allowing this to go forward because in Washington, as you know, non-conforming rights are protected property rights. And this you know, has had a residence on it in the past. Presently, it's used as a shop area. They are developing their new home in the footprint of the old home. And they're not asking for any kind of privilege or any kind of right that their neighbors are not enjoying. And I think that's an important background principle to have in mind, that they have an extremely constrained site and they need variances, not because they're building an extravagant large home, but simply be in order to accommodate any development on their site. Another important background information to have in mind is the Schneider Homes versus Kent case, which articulates the principle that everyone who owns a legally created lot in Washington State has a right to place a single family residence on it. And so that's consistent with like Lucas versus the analysis of Lucas versus South Carolina Coastal Commission, or just the reason we have reasonable use exceptions in our zoning codes. So like his neighbors, Mr. Smith Peters and his wife, they just want to have a little house on their little tiny lot. And there's been concern about the septic system. And I think the Associated Earth Sciences report addresses the septic system. And it explained, and I think Bradford Drew, who is with us today, is you know, has a lot of professional expertise that he can share with you. And he's evaluated, they have evaluated the design at Associated, his team at Associated Earth Sciences has evaluated the design for this septic system. And he points out the methods, the construction methods they're using present no environmental risk. They're putting in the septic system by hand. They're going to be pumping the effluent up to a flat place at the top of the slope. And they're going to have a controlled discharge system that prevents any type of, any large amount of effluent, or not effluent, but water being discharged onto the slope. So it's not going to impair the stability of the slope. And I think it would be, there are two places in the Associated Earth Sciences report where the septic system is addressed. And I think that would be really helpful for the examiner. And then we have, you know, Bradford Drew here, and he can address any questions that you have about it. But he emphasizes what, you know, they're not doing any direct excavation into the toe of the slope. They're not going to be hauling heavy equipment around the site. This is going to, they're going to put in the system by hand in order to preserve the stability of the slope. And he concludes in his report that this development is not going to increase the present risk of landslides. I mean, obviously there've been landslides and earth movement in this area, but it doesn't produce any increased risk because of the very conservative construction methods that they're using in the design of the project. And he can elaborate on that more, but he concludes that there are no adverse impacts associated with this development process to the stability of the slope, because basically they're not touching the slope. And So, Mr. Examiner, do you have any questions? It's kind of, there's been a lot of public outcry about this project, yet the neighbors that are complaining have exactly the same situation, and they have homes on their site. So it's kind of, I'm a little baffled about why there is consternation, given that, you know, Smith Peters and Mr. Smith Peters and his wife have gone out of their way to use non-invasive construction methods and you know, stay within the footprint of their existing home. Do you have any questions, Mr. Examiner?
So just to clarify, I'm getting echoing. To clarify for audience members, Ms. Kohler, first, can you just spell your name for the audio recording? We kind of dove right past that.
It's Jane Kohler, K-O-L-E-R.
Great. And for those that are watching, I know people pointed this out in the chat. I don't swear in attorneys. Attorneys do not provide testimony. They simply make arguments. So I just wanted that to be clear. And am I correct that you are an attorney representing these folks?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
I'm from the firm of Land Use and Property Law in Gig Harbor.
Great. Thank you very much. So I didn't have any specific legal questions. You provided the memorandum. I think, well, in a way, I would say there was an exhibit in the record. I think it was, let me find it. There was a narrative that I think was included as Exhibit 12, but my sense was that the memorandum sort of supplanted that. Is that what was intended?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. So I know Ms. your client wanted to speak. Should we go to him next? Is that what your plan is?
That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So if we can unmute Mr. Smith Peters. He was sworn in earlier, but we cut him off. So we'll go to him now.
Okay, thanks. Can you hear me?
I can, thank you.
Okay, great. So I think Jane pretty well summed up everything. And I think on more of the technical details, the septic design and that sort of thing, Bradford can speak to that. So I'm not sure I have much to add. I'll just say that overall, the engineering of this whole project has sought to be engineered for safety and protection. Jane noted some of the features of the septic system. It has a metered, has a tank at the bottom with a metered release. At maximum output, it would not exceed a fluid of a quarter inch deep across the drain field area, which is quite tiny compared to just normal rainstorms around here. And it's a hand installed. There's nobody on the slope. So it's all lightweight plastic components that would be hand carried in. The only tool would be a shovel. There's no gravel or any other fill material. Just the same dirt is filled back over the plastic distribution receptacle when the trench is dug. So it's a pretty low impact installation. Similarly, we're removing concrete around the existing concrete around the perimeter of the house to increase the pervious area and reduce the runoff from the parcel. And then so we're solidifying the toe of the hillside as well. So you might have been able to see in that picture that the slope goes up to 66% pretty quick. It's about 5 feet behind the house where that slope starts. So we'll be driving piles under all of the new foundation walls. And then those foundation walls will extend concrete up to the second floor, and that will be backfilled behind the house so that we'll be adding about 9 feet of fill on the existing toe of the hill to add a little bit of stability there. So all of this was taken into account with the geotech, the civil engineer, structural engineer, the biologist and the pile engineer to try to give something that would be as resilient as possible in that area. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So then, Ms. Kohler, did you want to call on Mr. Drew at this point?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, so if we can unmute Bradford Drew.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
Yes, I do.
And could you just spell your name clearly for the audio recording?
Yeah, it's B-R-A-D-F-O-R-D. D-R-E-W.
Great, thank you. And your role with this proposal, Mr. Drew?
Yeah, I'm the geotechnical engineer, and I prepare the geotechnical study for the proposed new residence.
Okay, I didn't have specific questions for you. Ms. Kohler, did you want to direct any specific questions toward Mr. Drew?
I think if he just has anything to add to the discussion that Mr. Smith-Peters just had about the design of the septic system, I mean, it was pretty thorough, but if he has anything to add and just his overall observations about how the structure is going to be even more stable using the pin piles that they're using.
Okay. And I did read Exhibit 3, which was your geotechnical report, Mr. Drew, but go ahead.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, I can touch on both those items. So I'll start with the structure itself. We performed an exploration boring within the footprint of the new residence. And the main goal there was to evaluate the subsurface conditions and provide recommendations for foundation support for the new house. Based on the subsurface conditions, we discovered the house is sitting on some old existing fill soils and some loose colluvial soils underlain by dense glacially consolidated soils at depth. And so to mitigate settlement of the structure, we recommended small diameter pipe piles as foundation support for this house. And as Jane mentioned and Kurt mentioned, as part of the residence construction, there's a retaining wall kind of near the toe of that existing slope that will be backfilled. It is our opinion that in combination with the pipe pile foundation and the backfill at the retaining wall by the toe, that proposed construction will not have any negative impact to the existing slope conditions. And so as we also mentioned, you know, this is a steep slope area. There are inherent risks with that slope. But like I said, with the proposed foundation and retaining wall methods, we do not see any increased risk from what currently exists at the site. So that's kind of a summary for the residents. For the drain field, like Jane said and Kurt mentioned, they do plan to pump the wastewater up the slope. And so those pipes that convey that water will be installed by hand without any disturbance of vegetation. Once they get to the top of the slope, that's where the slope flattens out. And that's where the drain field will be installed also by hand. And it's a conventional type drain field. It's about 100 lineal feet of trench. And those trenches are about 3 feet wide and they're buried about 2 feet below grade. And so those trenches will distribute the wastewater by gravity and percolate into the soils. As Kurt mentioned, there's a maximum. So this system is designed for a maximum effluent of 240 gallons per day. And so the drain field area is about 300 square feet. So we're looking at a maximum of 240 gallons dispersed over an area of 300 square feet. And so that corresponds to a maximum of about 1 inch of wastewater infiltrating over that 300 square foot area per day. So if this was a stormwater type system that would have a large quantity of flow dispersed over a relatively short period of time, that would obviously be a concern. Since we're dealing with a relatively small volume of water that's slowly percolated into the ground over the course of a day, this is comparable to what we would expect in the Puget Sound region during the wet winter months. And so we do not see any adverse impacts from that drainage system affecting the stability of the slope. And that's and one more item to add. So when the system is installed at the top of the slope, it will also be reestablished with vegetation, so to reduce any erosion impacts. And that's about all I have for those two items.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Drew. Ms. Kohler, anything more you wanted to have either witness go into before we see if there are members of the public interested in testifying?
I just wanted to mention to you, Mr. Examiner, that the no net loss report has a very good explanation of the impact that Fugaria Road has on application of Shoreline Management Act buffer requirements, for example. So that might be helpful, and I'll make sure that my assistant emails that over to the county so that you can take a look at that.
Great, thank you. Okay.
Oh, I have a question before members of the public testify. Are we allowed to cross-examine? Am I allowed to cross-examine members of the public who are providing comments?
I don't normally allow it. If you have a very specific question, this is what I was thinking. I was going to hear from members of the public and then give you an opportunity to respond. I don't, I don't know if cross-examination is necessary, but you know, if you ultimately at the end decide you needed to ask more questions, I think we can make that work. But we're not in court. The you know, rules of procedure are a little more lax for the hearing examiner, and the goal is for an efficient hearing. So does that work? My thinking is I'll hear from members of the public, and then if you had additional questions, I guess we could cross that bridge when we get there.
Okay. All right. So you're contemplating rebuttal witnesses as opposed to cross-examination, but if it might be effective to ask a few questions, you might allow me to cross-examine, because I guess I'm requesting the opportunity to do so.
And what I'm saying is I'm going to hear from members of the public, and after I've heard from them all, if you think you need to ask questions of some of them, we can do that. But I have rarely in a regular land use application hearing found that to be very useful. This is not an appeal hearing, so I just want to point that out. So,
okay.
Great, thank you. So now we will go to members of the public. And if you are interested in testifying, please hit the raise hand button. And just to be clear, this is a forum for respect and civility, for one, as I noted earlier, and also there's not going to be an opportunity for a lot of back and forth. And in addition, I want to stress, I did read everyone's comments closely in advance of the hearing. So the first name I see with a hand up is Judy Arbogast.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Great. And could you just spell your name clearly for the audio recording?
Certainly. It's Judy Arbogast. And my husband, Jim, is here also.
Okay. And is Jim planning on testifying too?
No.
Okay. And I do note, I believe you had two or three, I know at least two comments that were submitted in advance that I had an opportunity to review.
Yes. I want to thank the county because you've done a great job of working on that parking issue. There really is very little parking here. So I'm glad to see the county address that. Our number one concern is that septic drain field. The fact that this is a slide slope is historically noted and is one of three most critical areas in the county. The question we have about the drain field, and a part of it is answered with that it's going to be hand dug. The other concern though is that what's the access to get the materials up there? It's hard to imagine they'll be carrying those materials up the hill. Six of the neighbors are on a septic system together. It was developed after a major slide down here. And our big concern is with the inconsistency in the county. There are two other parcels right next to this parcel that one is on the community septic system. The other one has been denied a septic system, and he is actually putting in tanks that will have to be regularly emptied. The person that owned this property before Kurt was denied a septic, even when she tried to get just a tank that would be emptied periodically. One of the other neighbors farther to the north of us has that kind of an agreement with the county already, because they also were not allowed to build. The septic system that six of us are on goes up to the hill along our property, and then we have an easement with 9152 McBreen Lane for the pipe to go through that property. And the county determined that the only flat space available for septic for these six houses is at 9131 McBreen. And that was the closest that we could get a flat spot to put in a septic system. And so what we're seeing is the inconsistency that this would be allowed on the slope, which there seems to be disagreement as to how flat that is. And the other neighbors that have been denied health permits. I would say that at the time that septic system was approved, we did not receive any notification and didn't know that was happening. The very last time that we talked to anyone at the health department was when the drains were put in at 91, or not the drains, the tanks were put in at 9175. And we talked to someone from the health department who said there's no way a drain field can go on this hill. So that was, you know, and of course that was just talking, you know, on the roadside. So we don't have anything in writing on that. But the inconsistencies with the county, yes.
I apologize for interrupting. I just need to point out that I have no sort of jurisdiction or authority to address that issue of the septic. You know, that's the county health department. Specifically, what I'm going to be looking at is whether these two variances are appropriate. So I do understand your concern.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing it. But yeah. I'm just not the person that can do anything.
Okay. And hopefully that will be addressed in further permits. Is that because what we heard a while ago was that this is a conceptual approval for the septic system. Is that correct?
I think is I'll what try to get an answer once we've heard okay. from all those that wish to testify
okay.
more detail on the process.
Okay.
But
the only other thing we have is that it was mentioned that there was a carriage house here. We have lived here for 40 years and it has always been a garage and storage space. We are looking forward to having something. You know, the current building torn down because it was built without permits. The concern we also have with the construction is that the property directly abutting this property is a grandfathered in septic system for 9100 for Gary Road. And so we don't want to see any equipment on that property while the rebuilding is being done.
Okay, great, thank you. Did that conclude your comments?
I think that's it. I think the setback is being addressed if they're not going to have the overhang over the road. That will be a good improvement too, thank you.
Great, thank you very much. The next name that I see is Joseph Kopta.
Yes, I'm here. I'm unmuted now.
Great. I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And could you just clearly spell your name for the audio?
Yeah. J-O-S-E-P-H is the first name. K-O-P-T-A is the last name.
Great. Thank you for being here, sir.
And thank you for taking the time. I'm in kind of a unique position because I've got a piece of property down on Fregaria Road, and I also own the properties on the upland where the easement goes through for the drain, the sewer drain pipe. So the only real concern I have with this project, I think has been addressed by Ms. Kohler, is the access to the upland where this septic system is going to be put in. We have two separate drain pipes having easements across my property on what is has been defined as an old logging road. I think a lot of people maybe mistake that as a county right-of-way that's platted up there. But actually, my understanding is that's mostly on my property. It's not a developed county road. So anyone coming up there with equipment or machinery is going to have to cross my property, is going to have to be driving on a dirt road that contains two sewer pipes on it. And that's a concern I have. I think it's been alleviated somewhat, if it's my understanding, and I've read the proposal that was presented by Kitsap County, that access was going to be, for all of this, was going to be from Fregaria Road. And if that's the access point for installing the sewer system, the septic system uphill, I don't have any problem. If there's going to be equipment and machinery, people coming across my property, that needs to be addressed in some manner. So, okay. So that's mainly my issue.
Great, thank you. Yeah, once everyone that intends on testifying has had an opportunity, I'll go back to Bradford Drew and hopefully he can speak more to the process of installing the system. Okay. Was there anyone else interested in testifying before we move back to the applicant team and the county? Okay, I've got Gene McCleary. And you might need to unmute yourself.
Muted?
I think you're unmuted.
Great.
I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could just clearly spell your name for the audio recording.
Jean McCleary.
Thank you. And I did read your comments submitted in advance, but thank you for being here. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you for, hearing us out. I also have a pipeline going up the hill for two houses, like the other six neighbors. So I have been listening to this testimony and some of my questions have been relieved. I understand that there's going to be more questions, perhaps relieved by the county health department about this septic system design. I'd be real interested in hearing about more about the installation.
Okay.
That's pretty much it for me.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Like I said, at the end, we'll see if Bradford Drew can enlighten us a little more on the installation. Are there any other folks that were interested in testifying? Hit the raise hand button. Okay. All right. So, Ms. Kohler, my intent now would normally be to go to Mr. Drew, but did you have some other idea in mind or? If we can unmute Ms. Kohler.
Yeah. Okay, we will go with your plan.
Okay, thank you. So Bradford Drew, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, you were sworn in earlier, but Mr. Drew, there were several folks that were hoping to get a little more detail, especially on how installation would work, so as to not, I think, impact existing infrastructure. And I think Mr. Kopta, as well, ensuring that how the access would this have any impact on that access up above? If you could just speak to those issues.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't speak to contractor means and methods and site access. My role was to just assess the impacts of the slope from the quantities of water infiltrating the soil. So I think possibly Kurt Smith-Peter could speak to contractor means and methods for installation.
Okay, Mr. Smith-Peter. Yeah, and you might need to unmute yourself there, Kurt.
Okay, now, yeah. Okay, so yeah, there is the so-called logging road at the top there. It's sort of misdrawn on the platting in relation to the actual slope and the actual location of the road, the logging road. It's kind of a road. It's more of a path, a logging path, I would say. And a lot of it, maybe more than half, is on the parcels that are up there on their land. So the way of access that we're planning is, first of all, everything's hand carried in. There's no machines, no trucks, no heavy material, no bulk materials. We've got some plastic pieces and shovels that get carried in. We would come along that access road to get to that. That might be the access path, I'll call it. To get to that, I've talked to two different neighbors that have land abutting on there, and both of them are okay with us walking across, you know, no vehicles or nothing, but just walking across, hand carrying the implements and the components. So I'm aware of and the septic engineer as well have looked at the existing pipes. There's septic pipes that are going across there, as a couple of people described. We know where those are. We've seen them. They're laying on top of that path. We'll just step over them and not touch them. So I believe there's no risk or threat, but if we need to document something about that to absolutely prevent it, we I'm certainly open to that.
Okay. And was one of the neighbors, have you been in contact with Mr. Kopta, who said he does own part of that property?
So I have talked with Joe, but the one that's on McBurney Road is, and I forget her name, it's been a while, but it's his daughter.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for clarifying that. So it sounds like essentially the method is going to be hike in with the equipment, no heavy vehicles, you know, crushing pre-existing infrastructure, some, you know, intrepid folks with equipment that are going to make their way and then hand dig everything. Is that a accurate understanding of how that's going to work?
Yeah, that's correct. I also note that there's two or three major trees have fallen down across that path recently, in the last year, maybe 18 inches diameter, something like that. So you can't drive vehicles across there anyway anymore, unless somebody were to clear that, which we're not planning to do that.
Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that. Ms. Kohler, did you have any other questions?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Kopta, I see your hands up. This is not typically something I would allow, but I did just talk about you, so I am going to let you speak. But we're not going to have a lot of back and forth with every member of the public. I just did reference you, so go ahead, Mr. Kopta.
No, and I just wanted to state for the record that I'm sure Kurt and I can work something out. I would have every anticipation of that would. You know, I just like to know when people are coming up on the property and what their plans are. I had one person recently bring heavy equipment right across the drain field and the pipeline, and that I wasn't pleased about that. I don't expect Kurt will do that. So I'm sure we can talk and make appropriate arrangements if necessary.
Okay, thank you. And with that, I'm going to go all the way back to Mr. Poff and see if county staff has any final comments or thoughts they wanted to share.
I don't think we really have anything else to add beyond what was just discussed. We did have for the septic, again, it's, as you said, the health department approval. And I looked up and saw that they have the what's called a building BSA or building site application that was approved by the health department dated 2019. So that is in the record, and we'll have that again with the building permit, but I don't have anything else to add.
Great. Thank you. And then Ms. Kohler, did you want to make any final comments? I'll give you that opportunity.
Okay. Am I muted?
No, you're talking.
Okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Smith Peters and his wife just want to emphasize that they just want the same rights as their neighbors have, and this project has been carefully designed in a manner that it will not have adverse impacts to this fragile environment.
Okay, did that conclude your comments?
Yes, it does.
Thank you so much. Okay, so just to be clear on exhibits so that I don't mess that up, memorandum from Ms. Kohler was exhibit 22, the additional conditions that county staff would like to recommend is going to be exhibit 23, and then the no net loss report was going to be exhibit 24. Does that track with what you're thinking, Mr. Poff and Ms. Walston?
Yes.
Okay, so that'll be the plan. Certainly a lot for me to consider. So I will take this under consideration and produce a decision in the next 10 business days. It's been a long day. I'm gonna have a lot of writing to do, but that's fine. I thank everyone, especially for this last hearing, for your patience. I know it's never fun to be the third item on the agenda, but I appreciate folks sticking around to participate in this public process and to ask questions. And thank you to county staff and the applicant team for responding to my questions. So with that, we can go ahead and conclude today's meeting of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. I want to thank everyone, and I also would like to wish everyone health and safety moving forward in the strange world we're living in right now. And with that, we'll end the meeting. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.